remain standing this morning for the reading of the Word of God. Isn't it good to be in the Lord's house and good to be saved on this wonderful Lord's Day? Well, let me say what I've got to preach this morning. It's one of those times when you think you've got everything figured out, and then the Lord figures out something different for you. And yesterday I thought I had everything figured out, and about 7:30 or 8 o'clock last night, the Lord, He changed the course of things. And so I'm going to be honest with you, I've got a lot of scripture to read. They told us in Bible college, if you don't have a lot to say, read a whole lot of scripture. So I probably don't have a lot to say this morning, so I'll just read a lot of scripture, amen, and do the best I can with what God's given me, all right? Try to help you some. I hope that it will anyway. I don't intend to hurt. I intend to help. If God will grace us with His presence and blessing, we'll be able to do that, all right, and His liberty. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians and chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians and chapter number 11. I preached from this chapter years ago, but it didn't have a thing. Just today didn't have a thing to do with what I preached on. I don't remember how I preached it, but several years ago on a Wednesday night, I preached out of this chapter. But I want to just read the first few verses of it today and take the thought from there and preach what God's given me. Okay, 2 Corinthians 11. And verse number 1, Paul writing said, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve." I always have trouble with this word. I checked it out in Webster's last night. I hope I'm saying it right. "Through his subtlety." Now, I hope that's right. I looked it up in the dictionary, and that's the way they pronounced it. It said, "Beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted through the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." Now that's all I'm going to read this morning. Let's bow our heads for prayer, and we'll give you the thought and try to get into the message. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the Sunday school hour this morning, and thank you, Lord, for the presence of God's people and the singing hour that we've had. Thank you, Lord, for the good music and the songs of Zion that's blessed my heart again. I pray now that you'll help us today by the good grace of God here in your house, that you'll grace us, Lord, with your divine presence and power. I pray for that unction that we need this morning in the house of God, not only on the preacher, but upon the people of God as well. I ask you to touch those that are away sick. I ask you to help those, Lord, that are afflicted this morning, those that are sick in their bodies, diseased in their bodies. I pray you'd give them great grace and divine help. Those that are facing tests and other things, waiting on results, we pray for them likewise. Now, I ask you, Lord, for the liberty that we need this morning. I feel like you've laid this upon my heart, and I cannot preach it apart from the help and the power of the Spirit of God. So endue me with that, I pray, and accomplish great things by saving souls and blessing and helping your people. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. In the last part of verse number 3, Paul makes this statement. He said, "So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And this thought just came to my mind last night, seemingly out of nowhere, and I could not lay it down. The more I tried, the harder it got, and I could not lay it down. So I want to try to preach a while this morning on this thought, corrupting the simplicity of Christ. Amen. Corrupting the simplicity of Christ. Now, Paul, in his missionary journeys, established this church at Corinth. He spent a great deal of time there preaching to them and helping them to get grounded in the word of truth. But Corinth was like one of those churches that's like a magnet. It seemed that they always had a pulling, drawing power to those that would creep in and preach to them a false doctrine, trying to lead them astray in what they had already been taught from the Word of God. And Paul here in these verses is trying to do his best to correct that which has been sowed in their hearts and in their minds from those false teachers. And he said he had a godly jealousy for them, and he did. Paul was jealous over them. He wanted them to be right in the Lord because he had had a great part in their salvation and in their deliverance from sin. And he said that he feared, and he used the illustration of Eve in the garden and how Eve was beguiled by the serpent in the garden. I don't say much about that because I want to use it again in just a little moment. But he uses the same illustration there, the example of how Eve was beguiled in the garden by the serpent. And he illustrates it this way, that even these people at Corinth, their minds were being corrupted in like manner. And I looked up that word corrupted. I mean, it just simply means to shrivel or draw up or to shrink up. It means to waste away. It means to pine away. It means to wither away. It means to spoil. Paul said, I fear that your minds are wasting away. They're becoming corrupted. They're becoming corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. In other words, they're not enlarging themselves upon the truth of the Word of God. But in looking for the truth of Christ, they're looking for something. They're stumbling over the simplicity of Christ, looking for something much, much bigger that they're not going to find, if I can put it that way. And here's what he said. He said, these men have come to you and said that if they've come to you and preached another Jesus, or if they've come to you and you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, he said, then you might bear with them. Now, I had a hard time understanding that verse of Scripture. But here's what Paul is saying in that verse of Scripture. If I can break it down in English that we can understand, Paul said, I've already come to you, and he said, I have already preached to you Jesus Christ. He said, and there is not another Jesus that can be preached. There's not another Jesus that can be preached. And by the way, there's only one. And I'm going to tell you, the theme of our preaching ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of the souls of men. It's not man that can save himself. And it's certainly not the preacher that has the power to save. There's only one that has the power to redeem, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet he said, these men come to you, and they may preach to you another Jesus that I've already preached to you. And then he said, if you receive another spirit, if you receive another spirit, which you have not received. In other words, Paul said, you have already received the Holy Spirit. And there's not another spirit you can receive. And so these false teachers were coming to these people and preaching to them another Jesus, but they had already received Jesus. They were preaching to them another spirit, but they had already received the Spirit. They were preaching to them another gospel, but they had already accepted the gospel that Paul was preaching. And Paul said, if they come to you and you had not received none of these things, you might well bear with them. But here, the truth of it is, he said, since you have already been preached Jesus, and there's only one Jesus. There's only one. He said, you've already been preached Him, and there's only one Spirit, and you've already received Him, and there is only one gospel, and you've already accepted that gospel, then there's no reason for you to believe what these people are believing. But he said, here's the problem. He said, I fear that your minds have been corrupted by the simplicity that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm afraid people are having that problem today, that their minds are becoming corrupted. That is, that they're just don't understand the simplicity of Christ. There's a man by the name of Watchman Nee, and a lot of Baptists read his books. I wouldn't have one of them in my library if you gave it to me. He's got Oriental religion mixed with Christianity, and they do not go together. But what he is preaching or teaching is the deeper things of life. That's what Paul is saying here. These people are trying to preach to you what they claim to be the deeper things of life, and people are stumbling over the simplicity that is in Christ, trying to look for something that they're not going to find in Him. May I say to you that word simplicity means to be single. And Christ is single. There's one Jesus. The Spirit is single. There's one Holy Ghost. The gospel is single. There is one gospel, and that is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it means to be clear. And Paul said, what I have preached to you in simplicity is perfectly clear. Perfectly clear. But he said, what is being preached to you now? He said, I fear that it has corrupted your minds from the simplicity that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, and I wouldn't want people to be that way today, but I'm afraid there are some things today that will corrupt the minds of people concerning the simplicity that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you just kind of bear with me a little while. I will say one thing that will corrupt our minds from the simplicity that's in Christ is worldly wisdom. I'm reading, and I'm going to read this, so you might as well bear with me and read it along with me. In the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter number 1, and verse number 18, Paul said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. He said, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And then this verse. For after that, in the wisdom of God, get this next statement. The world by wisdom knew not God. The world by wisdom, there is a worldly wisdom that people mistake for the wisdom of God. I'm going to tell you what James called it. James said that the wisdom, the earthly wisdom, is devilish and that it is sensual. That's it. That's right. That is sensual and devilish, but there is a worldly wisdom that's being accepted over a godly wisdom. Now come on and stay with me. And he said, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, what was that worldly wisdom? I'm going to go back to Eve in the garden. The Bible said God put Adam and Eve in the garden. And he put a tree in the midst of that garden. And he said, all the other trees that's here, you can eat from. But that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, you leave that alone, for in the day that you eat of that, you shall surely die. And here comes along Satan. Oh, slew foot like a serpent, beguiling Eve. And tells her, he said, why don't you go ahead and have a bite? And she said, because God said that the day we eat that, we're going to die. And he said, ye shall not surely die. Now get a hold of this. The Bible said that when Eve saw that tree, that it was pleasant to the eyes and pleasant to the taste. And here's the catcher. And it was good to make one wise. That she took of that tree, took of that fruit, and the Bible said that she gave it to Adam, and they both fell into sin and plunged the entire world into sin. Now the devil, here's what the devil told him. He said, the Lord knows the day that you eat that you'll know both good and evil, that you'll become like God, and you'll be wise like God is wise. But that worldly wisdom, amen, that worldly wisdom took away from the simplicity of Christ. They could not get a hold of the fact. Come on now. They could not get a hold of the fact that salvation is simply in obeying what God has said in that Bible to do. Now I'm telling you, people are that way today. Folks have still got the idea today that I have got to do something in order to be saved.
It's not that simple. Just trusted in Christ who died on Calvary. It's got to be something more than that. No, I'm saying to you this morning, it's not anything more than that. Amen. Salvation is simply in believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus. The fact that Christ came into the world, God came into the world in the person of Jesus and died on Calvary that sinners might be saved. Now that's how simple it is. And yet people in their worldly wisdom has corrupted that simplicity. People think that they're wise in their own eyes. They've got their own wisdom and that we know better. And Paul gives that illustration. He said, the Jews require a sign. Surely you've read in the Gospels, that was the theme of the Pharisees and the Jews. Show us a sign. We'll believe in you. What did they say when he was on the cross? If you come down from there and prove to us that you're God, then we'll believe in you. But you died there. You're so weak you can't even save yourself. And if you can't save yourself, how can you save somebody else? Oh, I'm telling you, they overlooked. Their worldly wisdom overlooked the simplicity of Christ. Oh, how simple it is this morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's simple for me to believe that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's just how simple it is. And I'm telling you, man has added his worldly wisdom to that. He sure has. He's added his worldly wisdom to that. And he said, the Jews seek after a sign. Show us something. And he said, the Greeks. He said, them Greeks, they're always seeking after wisdom. But Paul said, we preach Christ a stumbling block to the Jews. And to the Greeks, it's foolishness. Now, I'm telling you, it is still that way today. It is still that way today. You tell people the story of Calvary, and for the most part, it is so simple to believe that they look at it as something foolish. Why would God choose such a way to save man from his sin by letting his only son die on the cross, and in doing that, believing in that, would deliver us from our sins? They say that it's just too simple. There's got to be more to it. There's something that I've got to do. Buddy, I'm telling you, it's not in what I've got to do. It's what He's already done. Thank God I'm glad He died on Calvary, shed His precious blood, went into a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later got up, hallelujah to God, and ascended back to the right hand of the Father. You better believe that. And I'm telling you, Paul said, I'm afraid your minds have been corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. They've shriveled up. They've withered away. They've pined away. They've just, in other words, they've closed. Your minds have gotten so closed up. And you're so self-centered in what you believe in your own wisdom that there's no room there for the gospel. There's no room there for the truth. Your mind cannot comprehend the truth because it is shriveled up and shriveled away from what you heard and what you believe in your own worldly wisdom. I'm telling you, worldly wisdom will damn a soul to hell. But I'm telling you, the wisdom which is from above is peaceable. It's lovely. It's wonderful. Hallelujah to God. Thank God for godly wisdom that sent His Son into the world to die for your sins and my sins on Calvary. Amen. God, by the foolishness of preaching, has chosen to save those that believe. Somebody wrote me a letter one time, said, why do you always have to scream? I thought, I don't know. I'm just kind of doing what God leads me to do. Brother, this is the way I'll come into it, you know. Now, I guess this is probably the way I'll go out of it. They said, it sounds foolish. And I thought, praise God, I'm biblical. I must be biblical. Because He said He's chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Now, don't ask me how God does it. But somehow, and I believe it, man, you don't have to hear preaching somewhere to be saved. I just believe that. And I'm telling you, somehow, God takes this anointed word, anoints his man, and as that man preaches the word of God, somewhere between his lips and the ears of a sinner, God will anoint that word with the power of the Holy Ghost, and it'll sink deep down into the ears of that sinner, all the way down into their heart, and by the grace of God, it will transform them into a child of God. You better believe that's right. Now somebody said, how would that work? I don't know. I'll find out when I get to heaven. I just believe God. It's that simple. I'm not going to corrupt my mind and try to figure things out. Some people try to figure things out that you ain't never going to figure out. You'll never figure it out. Just simply believe that book. That book. Now, I want to say secondly, stay right with me, all right? Look at Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18 in your Bibles. I believe it's in mine. I'll find it here in a minute. And Luke 18 and 18. Now, not only are minds simplistic, minds are corrupted by worldly wisdom, but look at Luke 18, 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said, yet lackest thou one thing, not a lot of things. You lack one thing. Now, I'm getting ready to show you something here. He said, sell all that yet thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Now, I want to say this before we get into this, that not only will worldly wisdom corrupt the simplicity of Christ, but I'm telling you that worldly wealth will corrupt the simplicity that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's where this boy missed it. Come on, stay right with me. Here's where this young man missed it. Jesus said, keep the commandments, and he began to name the commandments. Did you notice there was one commandment he left out? He left out the first commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy body and soul. He left that one out. That boy on these other commandments said, all these have I kept. And Jesus said, yet you lack one. He said, go and sell everything that you got and give it to the poor and come follow me, and you'll have treasure in heaven. The boy went away very sorrowful. I'm going to tell you what that boy's problem was, his worldly wealth. Come and listen to me now. He loved his wealth more than he loved God. Now I'm going to tell you, the thing that he lacked is loving God. Sinner friend, you're never going to get in until you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Amen, that's exactly right. He'll not accept you half-heartedly, three-quarter-heartedly. He wants all of your heart, or he will have none of your heart. I won't say this, he wants all of your life, or he will have none of your life. He wants all of you, or he will have none of you. That's just the way it is. And what he's telling that boy, he said, there's one thing you lack, and that's the fact that you love your money more than you love me. Did not Jesus say that the Bible say that we have treasure in these earthen vessels? You know who that treasure is? That's Jesus in these earthen vessels. But people have corrupted the simplicity of Christ. Amen. That's exactly right. Thinking that we've got to strike it rich. Men will spend all their lives like the gold diggers in California trying to strike it rich, and most of them didn't strike nothing. But hard pan and come back without a dime. Some of them got a little bit of gold and some money, I suppose. But a lot of them come back when men spend all their life trying to strike it rich. Now here is the real killer in this verse of scripture. He said, if you'll go, now listen carefully. He said, if you'll go, this boy was wealthy now. And he said, if you'll go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come follow me, he said, I'll tell you what I'll do for you. You'll have treasure in heaven.
Amen.
Oh, now I got to thinking about that. My goodness, this boy traded his earthly treasure that will soon fade away for a heavenly wealth that will never fade away. He said, hey, I'll give you treasure in heaven if you'll come and follow me. This boy's problem was his money. But what God's telling him, you don't have to give up your money. I've got more money up there than you'll ever have down here. I've got more wealth in heaven than you'll ever have down here. I've not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God's laid out for them that love him. Now you get a hold of that. He's telling that boy, I've got a whole lot more treasure in heaven for you than what you'll ever have down here. And besides that, if you gained it all down here, you're going to lose it. But if you just gain a little bit up there, you'll still have it. More. Thieves ain't going to break in and steal it. Dust and rust and moth. Not going to break in and corrode it. It's laid up in heaven. We've got an inheritance that's reserved. Laid up in heaven for us. Reserved. Can you imagine God done? Give us that inheritance, and it's reserved. Put it in a room and put a padlock on it. And nobody, it's ours, got our name on it. Amen. I don't know how much that inheritance is, but it's a whole lot. It said we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And if we're, son, I'm going to tell you, if we're heirs, it didn't say heirs with God, it said heirs of God. Can you get a hold of that? God is our inheritance. Now, what do you want? $50 down here or God on the other side? What do you want? A piece of paper that's going to amount to nothing? Or do you want to walk on a street of gold? What do you want? Treasures here, treasures up there. What do you want? A shack down here or a mansion on the other side? This boy could have had treasure in heaven. But one thing he lacked, and that was loving Jesus. And that corrupted. He said, I can't understand how me giving away everything I've got, giving away everything I how in the world is that going to give me eternal life? It wasn't the fact that he gave it away. It was what was behind giving it away. Simply believing what Christ had told him. He said, it can't be that simple. Just give this away and I'm going to heaven. It can't be that simple. Oh, and I'm telling you, people today corrupted the simplicity of Christ. Their minds have become corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And it is that simple. Now, let me show you number three, and I'm trying to hurry. Look at Luke 4, verse number 18. Luke 4 and verse number 18. I won't be long, I promise you. Luke 4 and verse number 18. The Bible said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister. And he sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel during the days of Elias, when heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, with great famine was throughout the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, except to Zarephath, a city of Zidon, and to a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the days of Elias the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, save in Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up to thrust him out of the city. Now somebody said, preacher, what are you getting at? They corrupted the simplicity in Christ through worldly wonders. Now somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? I'm talking about verse number 22. The Bible said, and all bear him witness and wonder at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Now, in other words, they admired. Come on now, come on. They admired what he had to say. Oh, they said, those are, no man ever spake like this man. What gracious words! And they all wondered about those words. And you know why they wondered? In their heart they're saying, this is Joseph's son. How can he possibly have such knowledge and wisdom that he has? Where did he get an education to have such gracious words to flow from his mouth? The words that fell from his mouth were like drops of honey dropping from the honeycomb into the mouth and upon the tongue of those people. It was sweet to their taste and wonderful to their heart and blessed their mind and their soul. And yet they could not believe it was the Word of God because they thought he was the son of Joseph. They wondered at what he said. And people all over America, they wonder about this Bible. Boy, it's a man-written book. Man wrote it. Man-made, they say. That's why it can't be true. They just don't know the God of this book. They don't know the God of this book. Now I'm going to tell you what their, come on now, I'm going to tell you what their problem was. Their wonders. They had worldly wonders. You know what they thought? They could not see through the Lord Jesus in his humanity and see the deity of Christ. Oh no. They saw it in word. They heard it in word, but they could not believe it. The thought that run through their mind, this is Joseph's son. They completely overlooked the incarnation of Christ. Amen. Being born of a virgin, they just couldn't conceive that. They just looked plumb over the top of that. Surely they got to be something besides that. I mean, it's that's too simple. I mean, but anyway, how can a woman conceive a child when she's never been with a man? I'm going to tell you how. The Bible said that the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. And that thing that was conceived in her is holy, is what the Bible says. Amen. That's right. Jesus is a son of the living God. And they thought he was the son of Joseph. They couldn't see him as the son of God. I want to say to you this morning, he is the son of God. He's the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the Word made flesh that dwelt among us. He is the Father's Son that became the door. He is the Father's Son that became the way. He's the Father's Son that has always been the truth. He's the Father's Son that has been the rock. He is the Father's Son, ladies and gentlemen, that has always been the incarnate Son of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. His great grace and power and glory. He's always been the grace of God. He's always been the glory of God. Oh, yes. Hallelujah to God. He's always been the great I am. I am, still is. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. I am, still is, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. Woo! But they couldn't get a hold of that. They said, this is just Joseph. This is Joseph's boy. But them words has got something to them that I ain't never heard. They just stood and wondered. Them gracious words. People come to church every Sunday. They listen to the Bible read. I've heard, and they say, why? Those are such wonderful words, and yet they never get saved by the grace of God. I've read where men, secular men, read the Bible. Many of our presidents have read the Bible and died and went to hell. George Patton read the Bible and died and went to hell. They said about him that he prayed like a preacher and cussed like a sailor. He died and went to hell. Those gracious words, oh, they're wonderful. Like I said, they're like drops of honey from the honeycomb. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, they're more than just gracious words. They're godly words. In fact, they are God's Word. Hallelujah. They could not get a hold of that. It was so simple that they overlooked the gracious words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm trying to hurry. I want us to go to Matthew and chapter number 7. Boy, you know this verse of Scripture, Matthew 7, verse 13.
Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I'll tell you something else that has corrupted the simplicity of Christ, and that is worldly way. Our worldly way. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, man's got his way, but the Bible said it's a broad way. And there's many that's going in that way. You know what's wrong with people today? They say everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is going that way, so it can't be wrong. It can't be as narrow-minded as what the preacher says it is. It can't be as narrow-minded as what the Bible says it is. Oh, but I'm telling you, certainly it is. I'll tell you what's wrong with people today. They're following the crowd. They're following the wrong crowd. And people are saying, if they can do it, why can't we do it? Church people, Baptist church people, are saying, if they can do it, why can't we do it? If they can get away with it, why can't we get away with it? May I say to you, payday ain't come yet. Someday the chickens will come home to roost, ladies and gentlemen. Payday's not always on Friday. Better believe that's right. Worldly ways. You'd be amazed. Turn on these fans, brother. Somebody back there, turn on these fans. Yeah, let the wind blow. We need a little wind in here this morning. You'd be amazed at the people that can live like the Dickens. Preacher preached down there at Brother Lawson's on Thursday night. And he said he walked into Burger King or McDonald's or something. He said there's a church across town that he knows, a preacher across town, a large church, and they cater to the youth and one thing or another. And said he walked in and said this boy walked up to him and called him Brother So-and-so. And he said, the preacher said, I said, how you doing, young man? He said, I'm doing fine. He said, y'all just come from church? And the boy said, yes, sir. He said, we just come from church. He said, looks to me like you come from the beach. Said the boy looked at him kind of strange. He said, if you come to the house of God, you go to the house of God dressed like that? Bermuda shorts and all that, and girls over there in short shorts, and you go to church like that? Are you listening to what I'm saying? There's a way that seems right to man. That crowd thinks because they're doing it, they can do it also. But I'm telling you, there's a reckoning day coming. You can't live like that. No, you can't live like hell and go to heaven. You can't lean toward hell all your life and go to heaven when you die. It ain't going to work. You must be born again. That's how simple it is. You must, I want to say again, you must be born again. You've got to be saved by the grace of God. You've got to be drawn by the Holy Ghost. Birthed into the family of God. You've got to be bathed in the blood. Now I'm telling you, when you are, old things will pass away and all things will become new. And if they haven't become new, you're not in. Amen. You can still cuss like a sailor and dress like a slut. You men can still chew tobacco and suck on cigarettes left and right. Drink liquor. And call yourself a Christian. Come on now. Hit the beaches nude. Go to Walmart and you just about have to shut your eyes when you go in the place. Wish to God when I get there, sometimes I have a seeing eye dog and a walking cane to get around with. Now I'm going to tell you, a lot of them anymore don't even cover up in the wintertime. Men's is bad. There's a way. It's a broad way. But I'm going to tell you something. There's another way. And there, it's a narrow way. And few there be that find it. But praise God to them that find it. I'd like to pick it for them that find it. It said, that way leads to life, thank God. Oh, yes, sir. It'll pay off to walk in the straight and the narrow road down here. It'll pay off in the long run. I won't say that again. It'll pay off in the long run because it leads to life, thank God. I'm talking about everlasting life. Woo! Jesus said, I come that you might have life. That's everlasting life. And that you might have it more abundantly. Praise God, we ought to be living like we're saved by the grace of God on our way to heaven. Amen and amen. Well, it was a blessing to hear Brother Mark testify in Sunday school this morning, wasn't it? I could have run my head through the wall, buddy. Amen to God. That's right. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. I might do it anyway. Amen. That's right. Isn't it a blessing when you find that straight way? Woo! It says, well, they'll persecute us. Let them persecute you. They might persecute too. I don't know. But they will persecute us. They'll talk about us. Holy rollers. Holy Job. I've heard them say, oh, you go by halls, huh? They ain't halls. This house don't belong to Hall. This house belongs to God. Hall just happened to be a member here. And a preacher here. Are you listening? Praise God. I'm going to tell you what. Don't let that worldly way corrupt your mind from the simplicity that is in Christ. Somebody said, well, if it's such a narrow way, then it's not that simple. Oh, yes, it is. And I'll tell you why. Are you ready? He said, I am the way. Amen. You don't have to worry about how narrow it is. All you've got to worry about is being in Christ. Amen. I'll guarantee you, He'll carry you down that narrow way. Amen. If it about gets so tight sometimes with both shoulders are rubbing the walls, but you make it. Amen. That's right. It's a narrow passage, friend. But you'll make it through. I think some of them old boys over in Vietnam, they'd come to them tunnels and they'd say, well, that captain looked and he'd say, all right, so-and-so, this one's yours. You can see that look on that old boy's face. They never put big men down in there. You know why? They wouldn't fit. Them people over there wasn't big people. They're little people. So they dug little tunnels. Straight and narrow, and they put little guys down in them tunnels. They knew that big guy couldn't get through there. That little guy just eased on down through that thing. You realize that they put cobras down in there for those men, and other snakes as well. Them fellas crawling along when all they had was a pistol in one hand and a knife between their teeth. Crawling through them tunnels, but I'm going to tell you what, I've heard some say it got pretty tight down there. But I'm going to tell you, they made it. They made it through that tight tunnel, and I'm telling you what, that's narrow way. Yeah. Praise God, I'll tell you, it may be narrow, but we're going to make it. Yeah. It may get tight sometime, but we're going to make it. Yeah. We're not on that Broadway, church. We're not on that Broadway that leads to death. We're on that narrow way that leads to everlasting life. Thanks be unto God. Yeah. Amen. I'm not going to let that worldly way corrupt my mind from the simplicity that is in Christ. I believe I've got one more. Look at Mark chapter number 3. Good old Brother Mark. I'll be down right here. Chapter number 3. I believe I can find the verses here in just a minute. 3:31. Yeah. He said, There came his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude said about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother, thy brethren without, seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? And then he looked round about them. He looked around about them, which said about him, and he said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Somebody said, he was being disrespectful to his mother. Oh, no. Listen to these next words. He said, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my mother and my sister. As my brother and my sister and my mother. What is that final thing that will
corrupt our minds from the simplicity that's in Christ is a worldly will. A worldly will. What did Jesus tell them? He said, whosoever will do the will of God, they are my brother, and they are my sisters, and they are my mother. Those that do the will of God. And I'm going to tell you something, friend, a worldly will. Stiff-necked, hard-headed, hard, that's right. Will corrupt that simplicity that is in Christ. Now look here, you know what they missed? Now get this, this is deep. They missed the spiritual relationship. They said, your mother and brothers are out there. He said, wait a minute. He said, I'm going to tell you who my mother and brothers are. My mother and brothers and sisters are they that do the will of God. In other words, they are spiritually related to me. That might be my mother in the flesh. But there's still got to be a spiritual relationship. Hey, and what is God's will? They that doeth the will of God. It's God's will that you believe on Him and whom He sent. That's God's will. God's will is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance and be saved. That's God's will. I could go on and on and on about God's will. There's a blue million things. It's God's will that we abstain from fornication. It's God's will that we live a holy life. They that do the will of God. And I'm going to tell you what, people have got their own wills today and they're strong. I've never seen such a strong-minded people as what there is in the world today. I'm going to do it the way I think it ought to be done. As it was in the day of Judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And what that means? They did what they thought. What they did, their will. Not God's will. Now I'm going to tell you something. It's like Brother Thief said in Sunday school. You ain't going in doing the will of man. Can't be your will. It's got to be God's way or no way. God's way or else, that's all. There are no other ways. He said if you try to climb up some other way, you're a thief and a robber. There is no other way. But yet people today are so stiff-necked. They say, well, you know, it just can't be that simple. Just can't. How in the world can a man dying on a cross make me his brother? How can a man dying on a cross make me God's son? How can a man dying on a cross justify me? How can a man dying on a cross sanctify me? Glorify me? They've got their own thoughts about salvation. You could go to churches, and I'm not throwing this out to be smart. And I mean that. I'm just saying this because it's our church. And I'm sure there's folks listening on the radio. But you can go to churches all over our community. And there are some that will tell you you've got to be baptized in order to be saved. There's others that will tell you you've got to be baptized in Jesus' name in order to be saved. There are some that will tell you you've got to speak in tongues in order to be saved. Oh, yeah, there's some that tell you you've got to take of the Eucharist and all that in order to be saved. You've got to drink that grape juice which turns in the real wine, to the real blood of Christ and the bread that turns into the real body of Christ. You can't be saved if you don't do that. And then there's some that believe you've got to take the fruit of the vine is real wine and they take real wine. I mean, just everything under the sun. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you what they're doing. They're corrupting the simplicity that is in Christ. When a man tells me, oh yeah, I know the Bible said you got to believe on Jesus, but when they put that but in there, I send up a flag, buddy.
Amen.
I didn't get baptized to get saved. I got baptized because I was saved. Now I'm going to tell you something. Christ was baptized and he didn't get baptized to get saved.
Right.
He got baptized because he is the head of the church. And if you're in the church, you're going to be baptized scripturally, or you're not in it.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Yep.
worldly will. Worldly way. Worldly wisdom. Did you notice one thing in front of every point I made? It all had to do with the world. Good old world. Number four. That's the one that kills most people. Is the world. Have you believed? Or have you corrupted the simplicity that's in Christ? Let's stand together.